If you've ever turned on a tap for a glass of clear, cool water and you've watched brown water coming out instead, clearly you've stayed at the Hammersmith Hospital in London where I was a doctor. No, just kidding. You'll know that is less than appealing. And although it can be safe to drink, brown water is a problem in parts of Scotland where there are largely private water supplies. Susan Waldron from the University of Glasgow is looking into why this is happening, and Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson went to meet her in the university's water and sediment lab to find out more.
The brown colour occurs when there is a high concentration of dissolved organic carbon in the sample, and the higher the concentration of dissolved organic carbon, the deeper the colour. And that dissolved organic carbon is coming from the soils that are in the catchment round about the drainage system. They break down and produce material that goes into solution, and then when we have movement of water from the catchment soils, such as under a rainfall event, we have movement of that carbon into the catchment water.
Now, you've got a couple of samples of water here, ranging in colour. Well, we've got a bottle of mineral water on the side there, so that's very clear. To, I suppose there's no way of putting this, that could be urine samples, I suppose.
Well, we like to think of them as closer to whiskey. But yes, the darker the colour, the higher the concentration generally of dissolved organic carbon. And in river systems, we can see concentrations that can be up to 60 milligrams per litre carbon, and they can really be quite dark brown samples.
Has there been an increase in the amount of carbon and the brown water that you get nowadays?
Within the UK, there are quite a large group of scientists who understand very well the processes by which carbon is transmitted into catchment drainage systems, and what they have observed is that there has been an increase in the amount of carbon that's going into water over Europe, the UK, parts of North America, and this has happened over quite a long time scale, about 20 or 30 years. There are multiple competing hypotheses for this, but the one that's most commonly accepted is that actually, as we clean up our atmospheres and we reduce the amount of acid deposition that there is, it promotes the breakdown of organic material and produces this dissolved organic carbon that can then go into the river systems. So effectively, as the atmospheres become cleaner, the water can become browner. There are also...
That seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Yep, but it's sulfate deposition inhibited the production of dissolved organic carbon.
Sorry, so what do you mean by that?
Sulfate deposition is your acid rain. Okay, so as we clean up the acid deposition that's coming from large-scale industrial manufacturing, we're cleaning up the atmosphere and we're not depositing so much sulfate on our soils, and we're increasing the amount of carbon that's being produced as dissolved organic carbon.
But water companies, I'm assuming, though, must spend extra money trying to make brown water clear.
That's correct, because aesthetically people don't like to drink brown water. It looks dirty. We associate the brown colour with soils, and therefore we think that our waters are contaminated with soils. And it could be that if the water is not purified of the material that gives it the colour, it may not also be purified of other components. So this is understandably why people don't want to drink coloured water. So therefore, the fact that our waters are becoming more coloured presents a problem for the water companies, because they have to invest more in cleaning up the water. And they need to also understand how the carbon is arriving at their water purification plants. So is it coming in at a continuous low level that's just increasing, or is it coming in spikes? And can their equipment actually cope with this increase in carbon concentration if it comes in a spike or not?
And what are you sort of discovering so far?
That land use change can affect the increase in carbon concentrations. We know well that there's a very strong hydrological response to movement of carbon into river systems, and that there's a seasonal component as well. So we understand that at the end of the summer, when we've had higher productivity in the landscapes and then subsequent breakdown of this organic matter, and we're supposedly into a wetter period when the catchments start to wet up again in the autumn time when we have heavier rainfall, then that's when we have the largest amount of carbon moved into the catchment. But it's very interesting, because we are potentially moving to a situation where we will have different levels of productivity as temperature regimes change. And as has been apparent over the past few months, where we've had the wettest quarter since records began recently, the time period when water is being delivered to the catchment also changes. So what we don't understand yet is how carbon will be delivered to the catchment under a changing climate. And that's very important, because the companies need to be able to understand better how to manage their resources and purify their water as best as possible. So we're taking our knowledge about what we know of the processes that generate carbon in the catchments, how it's delivered to the catchment, and then trying to understand how the changes might occur under projected climate change.
The University of Glasgow's Susan Waldron talking to Sue Nelson. And you can hear a longer version of that interview on the Planet Earth podcast. You can find that at nakedscientists.com/planet Earth.
Bringing the facts to bear. The Naked Scientists.